What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
We stay on the Eastern Seaboard by looking at the NFC East here on the show today. Rookie of the Year candidates for all four teams in the NFC East as we go division by division, looking at the potential candidates for all 32 teams in the National Football League. Jamie, we'll jump right into it because there's a lot of teams, there's a lot of picks, there's a lot of stuff to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, look, when I think of the Eastern Seaboard, Dallas, Texas is the first city that comes to mind.
I made that joke when we did the thing the first time, when we did the NFC East draft class recap, so I wasn't going to, like, do it again. I'll let you do it this time.
It's already been done. Yeah. What's in motion is already in motion, Christopher.
This Philadelphia Eagles draft class, pretty good. Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, the two guys that you probably look at from Defensive Rookie of the Year candidates.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to talk Offensive Rookie of the Year because you've got a backup tackle and a backup quarterback as your two options. So I think we can. If Tanner McKee is in the Offensive Rookie of the Year conversation, with something went horribly, horribly wrong for a lot of things and a lot of reasons and a lot of places. So let's not even consider this. But to me, I want to know what your thoughts are too, Chris. I guess that's what makes it a podcast, not just me just talking to myself. But I kind of want to pick Nolan Smith over Jalen Carter. And I think there's a couple reasons for this. One, I do think we know how the Eagles want to rotate the interior of the defensive line. We saw how, even when he was healthy, how relatively little percentage-wise of the snaps that Jordan Davis played when he came in as a rookie. I kind of, like, low-key don't like anybody on this team to win a Rookie of the Year award. And you're going to tell me what the odds are on Jalen Carter, and I'm probably not going to be happy. My guess is they're going to be like 9-1 or 10-1. I'm just not going to be happy with that.
How about less than that? How about 6-1 for Jalen Carter to be the Defensive Rookie of the Year?
I'm out. OUT out.
Nolan Smith 22-1. From a value perspective, I like that.
I mean, from a value side, yeah, I would take Nolan Smith at 22 before I took Jalen Carter at 6. And look, we also have to acknowledge the elephant in the room here, which is that there are some ongoing things that are plaguing Jalen Carter right now off the field that could factor into not only the type of play that you're going to get from him in year one, but maybe the availability at times for year one. So to me, it's 6-1. That there's no value there at all.
Well, here's the other thing too, right, Jamie? We have a recent example of how the Philadelphia Eagles work in defensive rookies into their system, right? Last year with N'Kobe Dean, he was a little different case coming off of an injury, but N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis both didn't immediately rush into starting roles and immediately become major impact players. They're both on snap counts, specifically Jordan Davis. And so I think what you're going to see is something very, very similar with Jalen Carter in that regard, rotating that interior, that defensive line. And so to me, there's more of an opportunity for Nolan Smith, but he is competing with Hassan Reddick, who's probably their best defensive player, second best defensive player. I mean, he's that good for them in this system. So I don't love either of these guys. I don't think I'd pick either of these guys. I think Jalen Carter being 6-1 is a little bit of is a little rich for me.
That's a lot. Yeah, and I think this is as good as this class was in total. You start to look at it individually, and you look at the individual pieces that are there, and I start to wonder if any one player is going to excel in their rookie year to that level, as much as we really like this class as a whole in those top two picks.
Dallas Cowboys, the next team up for us, and this is an interesting one. I think there's a clear candidate for either side, not one I'm going to love, but I think there's a clear candidate for both awards here on the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I think my eyes immediately go to Luke Schoonmaker,
yep.
The tight end they took in the second round. There's a clear opening. He'll be in a little bit of a three-way competition early on, but there's a clear opening for somebody to emerge from that tight end room. This is an offense that is still just brought in a wide receiver, a true wide receiver too, in Brandon Cooks this offseason, but we have seen Dak Prescott target Dalton Schultz and Jason Witten plenty throughout his career and now needs another option in the middle of the field. I don't see Deuce Vaughn having any sort of significant role in year one if he makes the roster anyway. So I'm not over the moon about Schoonmaker there because I feel like, A, we do still have to account for it. I'll keep beating this point home. Tight ends typically have an adjustment period when they come into the NFL. And Schoonmaker still has to showcase what his true upside is as a pass catcher. But I think he, of all the offensive options, is the clear choice here for Dallas.
Yeah, the odds don't necessarily reflect him as a favorite in the offensive rookie of the year candidacy.
Is he like 40-1?
100-1 for Luke Schoonmaker.
Oh, so he is 100-1. Yeah, I mean, I get it, right? There's competition. Even if he became the tight end one, you're behind CeeDee Lamb, you're behind Brandon Cooks.
All right, do you want to play the game? The group of players?
Well, there's probably going to be a lot of players around him at 100-1.
Not a ton, but it is a decent amount.
All right, play the game.
Luke Musgrave.
Okay, we're playing the same game here. Okay.
Trey Palmer.
Oh, God.
Marvin Mims.
Okay.
Darnell Washington.
Okay.
Evan Hull.
Okay.
Eric Gray.
Okay.
Stenson Bennett, DeMario Douglas, and Kayshon Boutte, two players we talked about yesterday. That's the group that Luke Schoonmaker finds himself in.
Well, I like him better than most of those guys. I think Musgrave's an interesting flyer there, but we'll talk about that later. Yeah, I don't think we're going to have a Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year award winner from the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, I don't think so either. It would be Schoonmaker.
I don't think we're going to have a Defensive Rookie of the Year Cowboy for the Cowboys either. But
well, because you're going to pick Mozzie Smith, right? We can transition to having that conversation right now. That's the player you're going to pick, right?
Sure, but like your two best players that you got on defense in the draft, by the way, I like a lot, are an interior defensive lineman and an off-ball linebacker.
Normally conducive.
Those are positions that don't tend to win these awards.
Right.
Jalen Carter.
Mozzie Smith, 50-1.
I mean, look, Mozzie Smith could have a great season and be a really effective run stopper for them and actually bring a ton of value to this team. But, like, who's voting for him? What campaigners are going to be around Mozzie Smith to win this award? Like, that's my concern. Like, when you're playing the game here, we've talked about this. Sack production, ball production. Where's that going to come from Mozzie Smith?
It's not. And that's going to be the problem. It's a great fit.
He's going to be a huge help for that defense, I think. It was a great pick, in my opinion.
They need a run stopper. That's
an area of need. But
that's what they went out and did. And so you like it from that perspective. But in terms of
those guys don't win hardware.
Right. They don't put up the level of production. Well, I mean, there's one guy that does, but he's not necessarily an interior run stopper. But you know who I'm talking about.
Sure. And that's Aaron Donald. And I think that is the exception, and that is the what you're hoping for, but he gets sack production.
Right. He's an interior defensive lineman that also just creates absolute chaos.
Now, you know, I know there's this whole debate that happened against him versus the run that happened 2 years ago, if you remember, on social media and all that garbage. But if Aaron Donald, which I think he's perfectly fine against the run, if he got 4 sacks a year, he wouldn't be in this conversation. As dominant as he is in all the other elements of his game, you need to have a certain level of that production for people to sometimes recognize all of the outside of your individual team or the hardcore fan. You need some level of splash and sizzle and sexiness for everybody to kind of look at you and go, oh, wow, look at everything this player does.
Speaking
just the fact.
speaking of flash and sizzle and sexiness, I think the New York Giants are going to be the team that are going to do the heavy lifting here in terms of hardware candidates for this division. Jamie, just like it was for the Dallas Cowboys, I think it's relatively obvious the two names that we're going to invoke.
Yeah, Eric Gray, you just mentioned it.
That's going to be a no. It's not going to be Eric Gray.
When Saquon Barkley sits out the season. No. So the two names here are Deontay Banks and Jalin Hyatt, right?
That is correct. We don't have to disagree.
Let's talk about Deontay Banks because he's going to probably have an opportunity to start from week one. I think that we went back to the conversation that we had in the AFC East, and the value of being able to play the full season is a big piece of value. Again, I will argue the same thing I did when we talked about the corners in that division, just like Christian Gonzalez here. You need the ball production. And Deontay Banks can get it. I would not be shocked if he has that opportunity, but you're going to need ball production to win this as a corner unless you have that crazy season that Sauce had. And again, as we talked about Christian Gonzalez, Sauce was a better prospect than Deontay Banks was, but I will give him credit. At least it's a big market and it's a week one starter. And that is a damn good start. If you're trying to look for a foundation to kind of find these awards, that's a good combination.
It's a big market. It is a starting position. I also think it's a position where we talk about the priors of needing to be in a position where you can put up statistics that are identifiable. That is what the corner position will be. The other corners in that room for the New York Giants are Adoree Jackson, who I think will be one of the starting corners, and Deontay Banks is probably battling Cordell Flott for the other corner spot.
He's better than Cordell Flott.
So he should be the corner opposite Adoree Jackson week one to start the season. And so, you would put him in the mix. Now,
Jamie, he's got some tests in that division, like the receiving cores in that division, the McLaurin and Dotson, the Cooks and Lamb, the Brown and Smith. Like those are some. He's got six matchups.
You're
going
to get marquee matchups throughout the course of the season for you to be able to showcase. Uh-huh. Yeah, 100%. They've got Seattle at home on Monday night, which should be a big test.
That's a potential Metcalf matchup,
or against JSN
or JSN rookie. Or Lockett, whichever's switching in and out.
So there's some matchups on this schedule for Deontay Banks where he can go ahead and put it together. Okay, Deontay Banks' odds, courtesy of our friends over at FanDuel.
55-1.
How about 20-1? How about you weren't even close? 20-1 for Deontay Banks.
Oh, I thought we were going to get some value there.
He is 10th on the list.
I should have known better. I should know New York tax. What am I doing?
Yeah, that was poor. You just said it yesterday on the show.
I know. I got to be better. That was bad.
He's in front of Nolan Smith, though.
As he should be.
So Deontay Banks 20-1 on this list.
More than Carter at 6-1.
I do, as do I. We mentioned the other guy that they took early, Jalin Hyatt, This is the one for me, Jamie. I think this is going to be my pick when the division's all said and done.
Really,
this is going to be the guy for me. There is a cacophony of opportunity here. There is a surplus of opportunity,
a cornucopia,
as you will, a buffet of opportunity here for Jalin Hyatt to be a top receiving option in this offense.
And that's what you're betting on, right? You're betting on the 100%. Opportunity. And to me, I'm not as high on the player relative to others. I thought third round was a reasonable value. I thought they got him at a reasonable value. But like we talk about the receivers that are coming into the NFL this year, and I had a solid handful ahead of Jalin Hyatt. But to your point, Chris, opportunity matters. And he enters this room with a bunch of guys.
You want me to read them? Yeah, I've got the list. You want me to read them?
What, like Wando Robinson, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Isaiah Hodgins.
Be respectful. Wide receiver one for the New York Giants next season, Paris Campbell. Okay, be respectful.
Starting slot, Paris Campbell, yeah.
Darius Slayton, Isaiah Hodgins, Sterling Shepard, Wandale Robinson, Jamison Crowder, Jeff Smith, Colin Johnson are some of the other players in that room. David Sills, the fifth, also in that room.
Boy, they've got wide receiver threes and fours on lock.
Bryce Ford Wheaton in there as well, undrafted free agent.
He's interesting. He's an interesting guy. I mean, not for this purpose, but I think I would not be surprised if he gets like a practice squad spot.
So Sterling Shepard coming back from the injury.
Yeah. They got a lot of slot guys though.
We've talked about this ad nauseum that they've got a lot of guys
they're
that
all slot guys, except for like Colin Johnson's and Hodgins, and like they're all slot guys.
Jalin Hyatt's not exclusively a slot player.
No, but I think that's the positive for him.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Because he's
playing Shepard outside. I'm not necessarily playing Wandale outside. I'm not playing Jamison Crowder outside. Like,
see, to me, Paris Campbell's going to slot inside. They're going to use Wandale as a replacement for Paris Campbell or as a gadget player. and then you're going to line up Isaiah Hodgins and Jalen Hyatt on the outside? Like, that's what I would do. I would put Hyatt outside
so
over.
Inspiring.
I would put. Yeah. Would you not put Jalen Hyatt outside more outside first over Darius Slayton? I would.
Sure, I would. It's that all their good receivers are slot guys. So this will be where Hyatt gets the opportunity to show he can win outside if he can. And yeah, so Chris, I get it, and I think there's we talk about opportunity. You talk about, I mean, look, there's it's tough to say any receiver that came into the NFL through the draft has a lesser gap to get to the top of the depth chart than Jalen Hyatt does, right? I mean, it's so from that perspective, I get it. The question then becomes, do you want to bet on the player? Like, the situation is great. The situation is exactly what you're looking for, but I'm just not sure.
Offensive-minded coaching staff, like, that's the other thing that I'm kind of looking at that kind of leans me in that direction.
What are his odds right now? Because I feel like we're not going to get the value that I hoped for.
All right. I mean, let's see. I give you another opportunity. New York tax. Go ahead. Figure it out. I'll give you
9-1.
Okay, you kind of you charged a very hefty tax there. That was a big tax that you charged.
Because offense good. 16-1.
Okay, you're closer. 30-1 for Jalen Hyatt. That's good value in my opinion. I would take.
Yeah, I think that's decent. I see you scared me off with the other stuff.
Him and Devon Achane are both 30-1.
Yeah, I would take a shot on Hyatt before I take a shot on Achane.
That's what
Hyatt doesn't need two guys to get hurt to make an impact.
No, Jalen Hyatt might be a starter week one of the regular season.
He very well could be. He's a guy that I'm going to have a gold star next to during training camp and preseason to kind of see how he ascends up the depth chart.
It's
a crowded room, I'm very curious to see how it plays out.
Right. It's also going to be very interesting to see how the Giants deploy these guys because, as you mentioned, a lot of slot guys, but they might try to do some other stuff with them. So we'll see what Dable has, what he's been cooking up this offseason. All right, Jamie, the last team that we have to talk about here in this division, the Washington Commanders. There's one player.
Yeah, it's Emmanuel Forbes.
It's Emmanuel Forbes, and that's the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
It's not Ricky Stromberg. We're not giving it to a center. If Creed Humphrey could win it, Ricky Stromberg ain't winning it.
Let's say, if Creed Humphrey couldn't win it, we're never. Yeah, Chris Rodriguez is going to be in the backfield. So there's no offensive guy to talk about. This is the one that's interesting because Forbes had some ball production.
He did.
And he's going to get an opportunity to play and play a lot right away in that same division, minus obviously switching out the Commanders receivers with the Giants receivers in this case. But, you know, I imagine that he's going to probably start, you know, him and Kendall Fuller are going to start right away.
Kendall Fuller wasn't particularly good last year either, so it's not like tough battle to win.
And again, there's some other guys there that you like in different roles, like Benjamin St. Just and Cam Dantzler. And you know, I'm curious to see if Quan Martin plays safety or if he's plays more of that nickel hybrid type of option for them that they had guys coming in and out of last year. But he has the opportunity here because he's the best corner on that roster already. And if he comes in, has a successful season right away, gets some ball production, he has an opportunity to win that award. I feel a little bit better about him than I feel about some of these other guys just because he has been able to get his hands on the ball and he is going to get a lot of opportunity to have some success there. Not my favorite bet still. So far, the Eastern Division has not been overly exciting in terms of like, I gotta go out and bet on this guy. And I know, you know, it is what it is. We'll talk about some of those guys later on, but I think of the defensive guys we talked about so far, I probably like Forbes better than anybody else we've talked about in the division.
Okay.
Relative to their value. Like, Jalen Carter has a better chance to win the award, I would say, but not at 6-1.
You don't know Emmanuel Forbes' value yet. This is where I ask you, can you guess Emmanuel Forbes' value?
14-1.
Now, I will tell. Okay. You didn't let me set up the bit there, but that's all right. Deontay Banks, 20-1. Just as comparison. We just talked about that. Deontay Banks is 20-1. So do you think Emmanuel Forbes is higher or lower than Deontay Banks?
Lower. I'm going to say 18 now. I changed it to 18.
So the guy said 14. Let me go on my little soliloquy and then change to 18. All right, you moved closer. He's 17-1.
Oh, okay.
He's got the seventh best odds to win the Rookie of the Year on the defensive side of the ball.
Second
highest player in the division. Jalen Carter is obviously number one.
Jalen Carter at 6-1 is the most. Yeah, I mean, look, it makes sense, and part of it is, I mean, we'll get to the meat and potato guys. We're going to talk about some edge rushers here pretty soon that are going to be the really interesting conversations for the guys. But look, it's interesting because, I can see a path for Emmanuel Forbes. I'm not sure I love it at 17-1. It's just coming to the conclusion for me, Chris. It's going to be really difficult for me to put a bet on a corner for Defensive Rookie of the Year this year. It's going to be really tough.
Well, do you think?
And I know we haven't talked about Devin Witherspoon yet. I know we haven't talked about, there are a couple other corners in the first round that we didn't talk about. Maybe. I know there are some long shots I like. You know, we talked about DJ Turner. Is one that we might want to talk about. Like, there's some long shots that if you want to throw $2 or $3 on,
I've got a long shot when we get to his team. He's 45-1. Money's going down on this guy.
There you go. But I'm just not going to be overly excited about taking a corner this year. I know the fact last year the top two of the top three defensive rookie of the year candidates were corners.
But doesn't that work against you? Because you're like, would they give it to a corner 2 years in a row?
It's not even that. I think what's working against it is like, I don't think any of these guys are going to do what Sauce or Tariq Woolen did.
And that's going to hurt them, right?
And so in my head, it goes like, boy. And I think it's going to go in some other people's heads too. It's like, man, we're not going to, like, this wasn't good enough to finish top three last year. Are we really going to give that player cornerback one? We'll see.
Aiden Hutchinson had a very good rookie season as a pass rusher, and he was beaten out by two corners because one of them was a ball hawk and got all the interceptions in Tariq Woolen. And the other guy, you couldn't throw the ball anywhere near him because it wouldn't work out very well for you in Sauce Gardner. So that's what it takes. That's the recipe that it takes to beat a very good pass rush season as a rookie for Aiden Hutchinson. I don't think you're going to get that same combination of events that will keep a pass rusher out of this award next year.
I would be surprised. I would be really, really surprised because I don't see any corners in this class, Devin Witherspoon included, that are as good as what I thought those other two guys were.
Okay, we close with the most important question. We're going to do this for every single division that we do. Jimmy, you have to pick one person. You have to pick one player for one award that you think is the most likely candidate to represent this division in winning a Rookie of the Year award. I kind of already gave mine away, so I'll go first if you want some time to think. Jalin Hyatt for me, Offensive Rookie of the Year. I like the coaching staff. I like the situation. I like the opportunity. I like the player enough to think that he's going to be able to put up numbers. And I'm here to tell you, Jamie, wide receivers, if they can put up good statistics, they're going to be in the mix. So for me, it's Jalin Hyatt.
Are we giving – because we haven't talked about one yet. Are we giving enough credence to, like, the QB tax? Are we giving enough conversation –
he'll get a bump because Daniel Jones is his quarterback?
No. I'm talking about – no, I'm doing the opposite here. That we're talking about a lot of Offensive Rookie of the Year, but we haven't talked about any of the quarterbacks yet. And the quarterbacks always seem to have an advantage. And if all things are tie goes to the quarterback.
Sure.
Are we better off in this exercise picking a defensive player? Because it's more likely if we're going to pick a long shot, if we're going to pick a surprise, it might be more likely that there's a surprise defensive player of the year versus a surprise offensive player of the year, given all of the rookie quarterbacks that are coming in that are expected to play major roles.
So I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I have to be true to myself. And I think Jalin Hyatt has a better chance of winning the Offensive Rookie of the Year award than I do any of the other players that we mentioned for Defensive Rookie of the Year award. I have concerns about Deontay Banks and Emmanuel Forbes doing enough from a ball production perspective, and I don't think they're going to be elite shutdown corners. Not to say they're going to be bad players, but I don't think they're going to be elite shutdown corners where I'm pretty sure my floor for Jalin Hyatt's going to put up enough statistics for him to be in the conversation.
I guess.
And Jalen Carter is going to be a part of a rotation.
Look, Jalen Carter is the most likely of the group, but if we're talking about value, which is what the whole point of this is because the likeliness doesn't mean anything because that's what there's already odds based on that.
Right. I think the value of Jalin Hyatt is too good.
I will reluctantly agree with you.
Wow. I convinced you. 30-1.
I will reluctantly agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, that's
because even though I don't fully believe in the player to that level, I believe all of the other auxiliary pieces around it that make him a strong candidate.
It's
which
not,
the others don't have.
What you have to do here, and I know you're doing this, but I want to explain the thought process to the audience. You now have to separate the player evaluation a little bit and now look at the situation that this player finds himself in. Yeah. And I don't know if there's a better advantageous situation for a rookie wide receiver to find themselves in than Jalin Hyatt in this wide receiver room. Now, Jordan Addison gets to go play with Justin Jefferson and have Kirk Cousins throwing the ball. That's pretty good. That's nice because you're going to be able to get some targets. But for an immediate get on the field, potentially be the number one option, Jalin Hyatt has a very, very nice path to be able to get there. And so from a value perspective, you're telling me I get 30-1 on that? I'll take it. I will take.
No,
I will
that's
take,
fair.
I will
that's take fair. Points. That's fair.
Okay, that's going to do it for us here on this edition of the show. We've got, Jamie, do you want to tell the people about the lovely announcement that you shared with everybody today in the TDM Premium Discord? You want to share it with the podcast
sure.
listeners now?
For those that are not in there, this Friday, we're going to have a very special TDN Premium Takes Only Takes on Takes episode. The whole episode will be Takes on Takes. So we'll do two more divisions this week. Pause. We'll finish half the league. Friday, we'll do full Takes on Takes, which if you want to participate, please make sure you go to the Discord, TDN Premium Discord. If you have not signed up for TDN Premium, please do that now. Click on a little Discord tab inside of your account page. Sign up. And you can leave all of your takes. We're going to just dedicate the entire Friday episode this week to Takes on Takes.
I will tell you that they're already loading up in there. There's lot that are in there since Jamie made the announcement this morning that's what we were going to do. So two more divisions this week and then that special show on Friday. So again, the TDM Premium Discord, the Takes on Takes tabs where you're going to want to throw those tweets. You can follow me on Twitter at @ChrisSchubert_. You can follow Jamie on Twitter at @JamieEisner. Appreciate everybody rating, reviewing, subscribing to this podcast. Hope everybody has a great rest of their Tuesday. We'll talk to you all tomorrow.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.